how the local church partners with and supports missions. Our text comes from Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 12, followed by Acts chapter 14, verses 27 through 28, and I believe our text will be in the NIV this morning. Now, there's a biblical basis for the local church to partner with and support missions. Now, I've been in churches where missions or mission reports or mission discussion has been based on pride with their lapels going, "We missionary Baptists." And that's about all you got. Didn't hear about anybody getting saved. Didn't hear about anybody being served. What happened with them? What the results were? Just poking around. "We missionary Baptists." Sometimes the local church sees missions as one of those commercials where you get up and you go to the kitchen to get your snack on. The main thing is to get your praise on in church. I'm not all that interested in the missions part. I just want my needs met when I come to church. I just want my ears to hear some good stuff. I just want to rejoice in singing. The mission stuff, yeah, not so much interested in that. But I tell you today, saints, there's a biblical basis for the local church to partner with and to support missions. And it's very important. In our message today, we will look at the church at Antioch, the birthplace of organized missions to the uttermost parts of the world as it was initiated by the Holy Spirit. The background here is that there was a church in Antioch. Now, there's two churches in Antioch. There's this one, and then there's the one in Syria. We're not talking about the one in Syria. We're talking about the church at Antioch, which is not too far from the Mediterranean coast. The story began in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 25. The story began in the 8th chapter of Acts, though, around 35 AD. This is how the local church got involved in missions. After the martyrdom of Stephen, when the church in Jerusalem came under persecution, and I'm going to read this to you, or talk about it rather, not necessarily read it. "Now those who had been scared," in verse 19, "by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed, they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only," say only, "only amongst the Jews." You see, in those times when the disciples heard Jesus saying, "You must start in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and where else?" Very good. So in Jerusalem, Peter got it going, didn't he? When the Holy Spirit came and he filled them up, there was a rush of wind, and it was like tongues of fire, and they began to preach the gospel after people heard them speaking in their own language, all the visitors there on that day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was introducing himself. He's being inserted into the story of the gospel. Jesus has ascended and gone to heaven. It is now the Holy Spirit's job to carry on the work of spreading the gospel. And he's going to use you and I, the church, not just those 11 disciples he was talking to. When they died off the scene, that wasn't the end. We still carry out the Great Commission. We still carry out the wishes of Jesus in Acts 1 and verse 8. So as they traveled, they spread the word only amongst Jews. Some of them, however, in verse 20 says, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, Barnabas was from Cyprus, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, they went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks, Gentiles also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. Uh-oh. First there was Jerusalem. Peter preached. Stephen was martyred. And so not only was Jerusalem and Judea covered, but now Stephen had been killed. But Philip, he went up to Samaria, and he started talking to some Samaritans, and they got saved. When the church heard it at Jerusalem, they sent Peter and John up there to investigate. What's this about Gentiles, non-Jews, hearing the gospel? What's this all about? They must have forgot what Jesus said. Didn't he say in Jerusalem and then in Judea? What else did he say after that? He said Samaria. I don't know where their mind was, but they got themselves up to Samaria to discuss what was going on with Philip. And they came to report, man, they got saved just like we Jews did. Oh, but the story's not over, because the Greeks there in Antioch, they heard about it. Verse 21 says, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord there in Antioch. The beginning of the last leg of the journey found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. To the ends of the earth was about to begin. Now, Matthew's gospel, verse 28, he talks about all nations. All nations. Now, what does all nations mean? All nations mean something. You see, when Jesus was talking to the disciples and he mentioned all nations, the words that he used was the word ethne, the Greek word ethne. Now, the Jews had another word for nations, and it was ethnos in the Greek. There's a difference, because the nations to the Jews was speaking of people who were situated in Palestine, who descended from Abraham, who claimed allegiance and trust in the God of Israel, and only the people of Israel. When they considered nations, they were talking about themselves. But when Jesus said all nations, he used ethnos. That's every ethnic group or nation that is not allied with trusting in the God of Israel. Jesus as the Messiah. These are the Gentiles. The word that Jesus used in Matthew 28, when he said nations, it was Gentiles. That's what it was understood to be. For some reason, the boys seemed to forget that Jesus wasn't just talking about salvation for the Jews. Saints, the local church is also responsible for partnering with and supporting missionaries, because we have to get the gospel to the ethnic, to the Gentiles. The same command that Jesus gave his disciples in Matthew 28, the same command that he gave his disciples in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 regarding the Gentiles, it's still on the table, and we must partner with and support missions in doing the work that has been called for us to do. Point number one, point number two, and point number three. Point number one is the local church supplies faithful men. Acts 13, verse 1, Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. The local church supplies faithful men. Point number two, the local church separates missionaries in obedience to the Holy Spirit's call. Acts 13, verses 2 through 12. The local church separates missionaries in obedience to the Holy Spirit's call. A third and final point will be the local church supports and rejoices in the successes of its missionaries. That comes from Acts chapter 14, verses 27 through 28. Acts 14, 27 through 28. The local church supports and rejoices in the success of its missionaries. Those are those letters that were read to you. And I rejoice when I heard those words that were given to us. It wasn't a commercial for me to go out and get a snack. Amen. Point number one, the local church supplies faithful men. Let's look at Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. Now, in the church where? At Antioch, there were, look who's here. They got some prophets, and they got some what? And who else do they have? They have a person by the name of Simeon called Lucius, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and who else? Paul, formerly known as the Pharisee Saul. These are some men that were there. You see, the local church was at Antioch. That's where they were. They weren't floating around in the universal church. They weren't at home in their pajamas. Where were they? They were at Antioch. The church there at Antioch. Isn't that what it says? All right, so the local church has some physical locations with physical people that are there at the physical local church. In the church that was there, they had prophets and teachers. And these men, God had this church, saints, well equipped to be edified and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. these men that were there, they were able to do the work that we see in Ephesians chapter 4. It wasn't about numbers, about the process and the results. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings just as they did back in Acts chapter 2, there in Jerusalem. They were doing the same thing. New Berean, we're supposed to do the same thing. That's the pattern. And it continued there in Antioch, as it should in all local churches. Look what the scriptures teach in Ephesians 4. In verses 11 and 12. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Next. To do what? To equip. I thought I was going to say to entertain. That's what I was expecting. I was expecting to say to entertain because that's what people go to church for. Isn't that right? No. They go to church to equip, to be equipped, equip the people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. This church at Antioch, around 35 AD, was a new church. But several years, maybe 14 years later, in 44 AD, that's when they began to send out the missionaries. They had grown from a few to quite a few. They had grown from babes in Christ to people who knew the Word of God. This local church wasn't just sitting around. I want you to see what they were doing in this passage. For the head of the church is the one who provides the local church by means of supplying faithful men and women to deliver the preached words to those who would soon serve as missionaries through his gifts to the local church. That's why they were a church that was united. You see, when they were being built up, verse 13 of Ephesians 4 says, until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, verse 14 says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. In other words, the church at Antioch was built up to the place where they were strong in their faith. They knew about Jesus. They could tell people about Jesus. They weren't being tossed to and fro. They had a good handle on the Word of God and the mission of the local church. They spent their time telling others in their local community about Jesus, but that wasn't enough. Not for the Holy Spirit. It's not enough, New Berean, just these walls here on 3600 Bamboo Road. It's not enough just to come and hear the preaching of the Word of God and saying amen and walking out and that's it. No, we can't cut our TV off and go to bed. We have work to do. The local church must partner with and support missions. Church must always remember that. The Holy Spirit witnesses to us that our sins and our lawless deeds, listen, those things that we used to do, God will remember them no more. The Holy Spirit is not about convicting Christians of sin. No, he convicts the world of sin. Oh, but for Christians, saints, he tells us about the righteousness of Christ. But in conveying the message of good news to the lost, the Holy Spirit reminds us that this involves the preached word. Would you listen about Romans chapter 10 and verses 13 through 15? It says, how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? Except they be sent. If you're sitting in New Berean Baptist Church, you are not sent, you're here. You understand me? You can't be sent if you're here. But if you're a missionary, you're one who's being sent. Therefore, I know that the Spirit of God intends for the local church to support and to partner with missionaries because they must be sent. And preachers must be sent for what purpose? To preach the word of God to the lost. Yes, the local church has to support and partner with the missionaries. Amen? It's the local church, though, saints, who trains and supplies those faithful men and women to serve, because we have received the gift of all the apostles, preachers, teachers, evangelists to equip the saints that are here. Do you not know that while Jesus, he did not send the woman at the well to go back to her hometown when she left her bucket, okay? But he knew she was going. Yes, he did, because he made that special appointment just for her. And he waited for her to come back with a crowd of folk. The disciples didn't understand that. Why you want to go there to Samaria? They ain't like us. Jesus said, there's a need. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. This woman is lost. Her neighbors are lost. So I'm going to let her go back home and tell somebody. There was a man who had a legion of demons in him. And after the demons were excused by Jesus from his body, and he found himself clothed in his right mind, he tried to get in the boat with Jesus. I don't want them rascals coming after me no more. I'm going to get with the man who would keep Jesus. So you can't get in the boat. You can't get in the boat. Jesus sent him to the 10 cities to tell people about what he had done. Many people heard. Many people believed. And the next time Jesus showed up in the neighborhood, they came to. And they heard and they saw and they were healed. You see, he sent this guy. Jesus did that. But it's the local church who trains and supplies these faithful men to be able to go out and do that. No, the woman at the well and the man who had the legion of demons, they were not superstars in Sunday school, but they were still allowed to go and tell. But saints, today we have the Holy Spirit. We have the gifts that he has given us. Jesus Christ gave us those gifts according to Hebrews, according to Ephesians 4. To equip the saints so that we can train those young men and women who someday will take what they've learned and they will go out to be missionaries in the foreign lands. Which takes us to our second point. The local church separates missionaries in obedience to the Holy Spirit's call. To the Holy Spirit's call. Now, we're looking at at first, verses 2 and 3. 2 and 3 of Acts chapter 13. Let's read them. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, who was doing this, by the way? The church where? At Antioch. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, you mean the Holy Spirit come to church too? Don't you know that we are temples of the Holy Spirit? He's on the inside. Jesus is on the inside through the person of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit's here right now. And he was there. Listen to what they were doing. They were worshiping the Lord and they were fasting. And while they were doing that, the Holy Spirit showed up and said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work I have called them. Let's go back to the Wayback Machine just a little bit. Y'all don't mind, do you? Why is it Barnabas and Saul? Remember I said that Barnabas was from Cyprus? And you remember how some of the men from Cyprus and Cyrene, they went and they to Antioch and they talked to the Greeks about Jesus? When the word got to the church at Jerusalem that there were some Christians who were Greeks in Antioch, they sent a man who was from that neighborhood. His name was Barnabas. He went there. And the Bible tells us that he was amazed at what he saw. Greeks, Gentiles being saved. He was amazed. And he stayed with them and he preached to them, and many people were saved. And so what did he do? He went and found Paul. He went and found the apostle Paul. He wasn't the apostle Paul then. He was a disgraced Pharisee named Saul. Oh, but this disgraced Pharisee named Saul got met by Jesus in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus, and he got saved. And boy, did he get saved. And he was ready and fit to preach the gospel to these Gentiles. So Barnabas, he went and got Saul to come with him to Antioch. You remember Paul and Barnabas was one of those men that was spoken of in Acts 13:1. That's how Paul got there. Now let's continue. The local church separates missionaries in obedience to the Lord's call. Look at verse 3 of Acts 13. So after they had fasted and prayed, meaning that they were intimately connected to this call of these missionaries at that local church, it says they placed their hands on them. God already had it planned, but they put their hands on them saying, we approve, we acknowledge, and they sent them off. Didn't we talk about being sent? Missionaries don't just stay inside the four walls of the church, but they get sent. That's how I know the local church partners with and helps and supports missionaries. That's what the Bible's telling me here. The Holy Spirit witnesses to us that our sins and their lawless deeds, God will remember no more. He convicts the believer of righteousness paid for by the finished works of Jesus Christ on the cross. And this missionary has a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ in the preaching of his cross. The missionary's main goal is to proclaim Christ. So let's see about these missionaries in action. We're reminded about how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Look at verse 4 of Acts chapter 13. The two of them, what's that word? Sent. Say sent. Sent on their way by who? The Holy Spirit. They went down to Seleucia and they sailed there to Cyprus. Look at verse 5. When they arrived at Salamis, what did they do? They went to Starbucks. They proclaimed what? The Word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came, in verse 6, to Paphos, where they met a Jewish sorcerer and a false prophet named Bar-Jesus. Verse 7, who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man who was not a Jew, sent for Barnabas and Saul. Why did he send for Barnabas and Saul? Oh, he knew they were in town. But to see the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit won't just twiddle in his thumbs if he's got thumbs. He is a spirit, you see. He was still busy. What was he busy doing? He was telling people about the righteousness of Jesus Christ, wasn't it? How they could come and had their sins forgiven. Huh? All of them. Past, present, future. Amen. And so, the Bible tells us that we can't come unless we are drawn to the Father. Guess who's doing the drawing now? Holy Spirit. Oh, he's drawing this man, despite the knucklehead that he's got serving him, who's trying to keep him from hearing the gospel. He wants to defame these men. Oh, but wait a minute. Hold up. He sent for Barnabas and Saul because, verse 7, what did he want to do? He wanted to do what? To hear the word of God. His ears weren't itching for junk. He was itching to hear the truth found in the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that, verse 8, that's what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. He met the wrong dude. He came up with Saul. Now, Saul could go toe-to-toe when he was a Pharisee. But now that he's on the side of Jesus, oh, you want, Barnabas didn't say nothing. Barnabas didn't talk. Who started barking? Junkyard dog Paul. Oh, then Saul, who was also called, what? Oh, he's Paul now. From here on in, it's going to be Paul. Filled with who? Oh, Paul might have been something, but the Holy Spirit is something else. You're messing with the wrong pair. Looked straight at Elymas and said in verse 10, you are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Verse 11, now the hand of the Lord is against you. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't heard about the hand of the Lord. When the hand of the Lord is for you, you're in good shape. If the hand of the Lord is not for you, I don't care how far you run, he's still going to get you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun. Immediately, say immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Watch what happens in verse 12. when the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed. But he, it's not just because he believed because he saw what happened. Look what happened. For he was what? Amazed at the what? At the teaching. He heard the word of God. Oh, about the Lord. Woo! Now, you remember when my lovely sister Duncan was up here and she had some pieces of paper? What was she doing? Was she reporting? Was she reading the reports of men who did things like that in service of the Lord? How the Holy Spirit used them, the ones that the Holy Spirit sent, and the ones that were sent by the approval of the local church? Y'all know where I'm going. He became a believer because of the doctrinal teaching of the good news from the preached word, which takes us to our third point. The local church supports and rejoices in the successes of its missionaries. Acts 14, 27 through 28. The local church supports and rejoices in the successes of its missionaries. Let us look at Acts 14. Now, they've come and made their way back to Antioch, Paul and Barnabas and John Mark. On arriving there, they gathered the church together. Can you gather the universal church together? Can you gather the universal church together? So what church were they gathering? The local church. Say local church. I'm not trying to belabor the point. I'm just pointing out the obvious. It's the local church that they came to report to and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the whom? Not the ethnos, but the ethne. Those who were not Jews, the Gentiles, you and I. Look at verse 28. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. They reported back to the local church. In their local church, they rejoiced at what they heard. The local church rejoices in the hope, the glory, and the joy in participating in the gospel. Paul had this thought in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 19 and 20. He said, "For what is our hope?" Talking about the Thessalonians. "Our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is it not you, people at Thessalonica? Indeed, you are our glory and joy." They rejoiced in hearing what happened with the Gentile who heard the gospel. They were rejoicing there at Antioch because of it. And it wasn't just because it was good news, but because they had participated and it was part of their joy to have been a participant in that process. Now, there was also financial support from local churches. Now, you may recall that Paul often worked as a tent maker, but when he was in Corinth, Timothy and Silas, they came to town and they arrived in Corinth sometime with Paul, and Paul started to change from being just a tent maker, but he started to do it full time. He began to be fully occupied with proclaiming the word of God. Paul gave himself full time to proclaiming the gospel. He no longer worked in the tent making industry, But I want you to know what happened. And it's recorded both in 2 Corinthians 11:9 and Philippians 4 and verse 15. Those verses, 2 Corinthians 11 and 9, Philippians 4, 15, they indicate that the Philippian church, another local assembly located in Macedonia, was the only one that supported Paul financially during his first trip to the province of Achaia, of which Corinth was the capital. So churches also financially support missions. Now, today, most missionary endeavors are funded through one of the following five models: a denomination, a mission organization, a foreign organization, a conglomerate of churches or supporters, that's what's happened with some of our missionaries, or the local church alone. Funding of missions in many of these ways is what we do as a local church. And if it's a denomination, for instance, they in turn carry out the funding for the missionaries in some systematic way. As we give to missions here at New Berean Baptist Church, that's how we support our missionaries. We have missionaries who are local and foreign, but we support them all here at New Berean Baptist Church. Saints, the local church must, and I ain't playing when I say it, we must partner with and support missions, because that's what Jesus wanted us to do. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said so. He can't count on Peter and James and John to upstairs with him. It's now up to us. In the Church of Antioch, we first see the role of the local church in sending missionaries in the will of God. It involves several aspects. They fasted, they prayed, they laid hands of approval on them, they sent them, and they supported them. Saints, may we continue to partner with and support missions here at New Berean Baptist Church. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for confirming, my God, that we don't take this lightly when we support and give and partner with these missionaries who send us letters back telling us what's going on in the work of the gospel wherever they are in this world. I thank you that we're able to do that. I thank you that Paul wasn't the only one, that Pastor Ricks knew and understood how the local church needs to operate with regards to missions. And we want to continue to carry it on, that people who don't know Jesus Christ, people who are lost, people who have no food, no clothing, in sickness, no health, they need the church in every way, including supporting missions and funding them. For that's part, dear God, of what you asked and commanded us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.